that now. Okay, welcome to our introductory evening for Planetary Healing, Spirit Medicine for Global Transformation. I'm Nikki Scully.
I'm Mark Hallert.
And Mark is with me, and we are very excited about our new book. I recognize a lot of names on the list, so I know many of you are familiar with my past work. I'd like to start by saying this is a culmination of the time that Mark and I have been together. We've been together for 25 years, married for 21, actually almost 26, my goodness, time flies. And it wasn't long after Mark came to live with me that we discovered that he had this incredible capacity as a seer, as a visionary. And
I didn't have a lot of confidence in it in the beginning. I would just describe images sort of like I figure my daydreams. I have a lifetime of daydreaming. And Nikki started noting that there was reason for the images, that they connected to things that were happening or things that she was wondering about. So we started to play with that.
And as soon as I realized that he was kind of a direct connect to that band, that frequency that I was working with to commune with my allies, I guess we hadn't even started power animal meditations back then. It was around that time in the late 80s that we really got into creating the teachings. No, I take it back. It was in the mid-80s because it really started with the harmonic convergence in 87. But we were having experiences, shamanic experiences that we write about in the book. And that's one of the things that the people who endorsed the book and the few readers that we had before we published it are as excited about our stories as they are about the work, because we really get into our process, how we came to discover this incredible creative capacity that the two of us had together, which is really unusual.
And it didn't just pop into existence overnight. It evolved over a period of time. And then, as so often, the universe provides explanations, information, whether they're radio shows or conversations. We started to learn about how the different hemispheres of the brain work, and we started seeing how, with Nikki probing or questioning and not holding me in the left hemisphere, allowing me to drift deeper and deeper into the right hemisphere in the course of a session, then that's where we got the good stuff.
And Mark would find himself delivering information that he had no rational access to. And I immediately started recording everything. And so what happened with this book is we went back and found everything that was associated with planetary healing from the time that we started creating my own personal teachings.
Compiled the body of work that has been growing over the years.
And so what we've come up with is a book of maps into various processes and exercises that are designed to help us find solutions for the challenges and problems we're having on the planet right now. And we cover a wide range of subjects in that regard. I'm going to open to the table of contents, which actually is on our website, planetaryhealingbook.com, so I won't spend much time there. But talk about the events that helped us to understand our direction and drew us into this work, and then the various exercises from the original planetary healing class that was designed, again, back in the 80s as an advanced class for the students of alchemical healing, which at that time wasn't even called alchemical healing yet. But we were looking for tools to take people beyond what my personal healing classes provided. And so the first section of the book has all these wonderful things that we talked back then that have only become more relevant with time. We have some journeys that are very specific for things like air pollution and adaptation, for tackling environmental diseases and heavy metals toxicity. We explore the consciousness of water and water altars. We have the original tribal alchemy journey for peace that we brought in for the 40th anniversary of the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
But we turned it around so that it's applicable for any strife in the world in any moment.
We get into intelligent evolution and DNA, and we're really blessed. For that chapter, we had the support of Bruce Lipton, who gave us a lot of the studies that are used to support the chapter on DNA, and we have an empowerment to help us because we realize that we're at a time where evolution is slow. We need to mutate, in a sense, in order to move quickly enough to adapt to the environment that we've created. And so that's a really important part. And as a survivor of cancer, which I was diagnosed with in 1991, we have a whole part on the pandemic of cancer and the shamanic approach to dealing with cancer. And then we have in the advanced section, which we call It's About Time, we get into the enigma of time and other dimensions, which is the arena that we want to focus on tonight when we give you a taste. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about what we're striving for in terms of how people can use this book. I mean, what I just gave in terms of chapter headings was just probably about a quarter, if that, of what's in the book. I mean, it's a really extensive table of contents, which you can find on our website. So the idea of how people can use this book is you can do it alone or with a circle of friends, or just sharing with another person, or what we're working on, which is really new for us, is creating an online forum where people can not only share the experiences from the book and ask questions, and we can all support one another in that, but we can have calls for action where we can all simultaneously work on specific situations that are happening on the planet.
That website just came into being today, Nikki?
Well, the website's there, but the forum, we just opened it up today. So after we do our work tonight, I'm hoping that you'll go on and register for the forum. And the reason that we're having a registration process is so we can keep spam out of our conversation. So it adds an extra step, but once you do it, it's done. And Roland, our wonderful web designer, says that will really help us chatter down that isn't furthering our work. For example, Joan, who was the first person that called earlier, was asking if we're focusing on the Amazon River. Well, it's not a focus that's in the news right now, but it's a focus that a lot of us are interested in. So as we develop this forum and we get more and more people who have the book and are really taking this work seriously, then we can start a topic such as dealing with the situation in the Amazon with the new dams they're creating
and the pollution
and the pollution and the rainforest
and people,
work on those.
As the use of the forum evolves and develops, then we can start picking specific times when we can all do our own work combined at the same moment, because it makes the work so much more powerful the more people focused on it at the same moment.
And we really are all in this together. And so with mutual support and encouragement and through sharing our experience, that we just hope to create community where we can are encouraged to do more practice with more confidence. And we really have tried to keep it as light as possible in the book, even though we're dealing with some pretty heavy things. And there are, let's see, I think I covered that. There are exercises for specific situations and problems, and also some more generic ways that we can approach celebrating peace and or various things that we can do to personally become stronger, to work on ourselves so that we're in a better position to do some of this larger global transformation work. We highly recommend that you journal your work with this book. This is really important because so many of the things will make sense. And
but if you drifted into your right brain, which is really one of the intents that we have with this book, is to help you have your own adventures into the right hemisphere of brain, where intuition and inspiration are so powerful.
And so what we're providing are maps. They're pathways that help us to find solutions as well as to shift things that are happening in the moment. And in that process, we often meet new guides, make new and new allies in our journeys, and we're moving to a place where we find that we're having more communication with more people who are entering that same band that we are, where we're all sort of functioning at that
and we're learning
same
level. The importance of the journal, back to that point, is because when we're working in that these arenas, to remember the epiphanies is similar to trying to remember a dream the day after.
There's also a CD that comes with this book called Making Spirit Medicine. And we were going to publish it actually some time ago, and we realized we wanted to include it in the book because it's a journey of great import right now. How we can create the medicine and hold it within ourselves, and we become the medicine and the medicine makers. And so that's a wonderful
and empowering
guided visualization. It's 39 minutes long, and we Roland and Alexa McDonald did such a great job with the music. Roland Barker is not only our web designer, but he produced the music for all my CDs over the years. And Alexa had written a song to back me up in this particular journey when I used to do it at conferences. And so the music is so good, we extended it another 39 minutes so that you could have just the music by itself for use in other journeys that you'll want to do. And so on the website, we have a little snippet of the music, and we have about 6 minutes of the journey, which is inclusive of the heart-breath meditation, which is the invocation that we use in the beginning of every process in the book, which is also a practice that if you incorporate into your life, it's personally very healing and very empowering. And the idea is to breathe in that way to empower yourself until it becomes a natural way that you breathe in life, connecting with the love in your heart, connecting with the powers of earth and sky, and generating that power through your body and into the world on your breath. So these are just some of the key points we wanted to talk to you about the book before we went into a demonstration by taking you on a journey. I'd like to ask before we go forward, are there any questions so far about what we've talked about? And if so, you can hit *7 and just say your name and where you're from, and then I'll take your question. We've got about 5 minutes or so we can put toward this before we want to go into the next part. Anybody have anything, any comments or questions?
Nikki, this is Lindy in Virginia, and
hi,
I don't have a specific question yet. I will say that your voice is still drifting in and out. Mark's comes really clear. There are times when I'm not hearing you.
Uh-oh. This is not good. All right, I'm going to take off. There. How's that?
That's good.
You can hear me now.
I can't hear you now.
Nikki just removed the headset.
I just removed the headset.
And is holding the phone to her head.
Yeah, I had back surgery a few weeks ago, so I'm not, but I can pull it off for a half an hour with no problem. Okay.
Okay, thanks. I was getting sort of half your sentence and then half of it was drifting out, half your sentence.
Oh, I
so
appreciate
before you go into the
that.
Meditation, right, I wanted to be following you.
Good for you.
Yes, thank you. Anyone else have any comments or questions? *7 will get you back on, and then you can *6 to mute again. Well, I'm really glad for that one. Yes, hello. Somebody wanting to speak? Now, and on the website, Fatima asks, the healing for all kingdom. I'm not sure what you're wanting to know with that question, but so if you want to give me a little more detail about what you want, I will answer your question. And to get ready to go on into the what we've chosen to do tonight, part of the reason that we chose this is because we were considering what we wanted to offer from the book.
One of the things that came up at first last night when we were talking about our choices was the subject of time. And then this morning, there was the Nobel Awards for Physics announced about the universe is growing faster, and this goes hand in glove with a subject we deal with in our chapter on time, and it was like a sign.
And what's really interesting about this is that when Mark had these visions maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and they were so deep, and so even though he could understand them, they came from that place where it's really hard to articulate. It took years before he could bring it into an articulation that I could understand so that I could translate it into an articulation that I felt our readers would be able to understand. And then lo and behold, the timing comes out such that what we were postulating and looking at and delving into is pretty much what they've come up with and got a Nobel Prize for, that they've gotten some proofs on, and so that was really exciting. There were,
for me, it's another example of information coming to the into this universe, and it's sort of presented in a shotgun fashion, because the gentleman who won the prize, it's not like they
three people
won
the prize.
It's work that they've done over the years, but I was unaware of,
and they were working independently as well. So it's really kind of interesting. And then we were listening to All Things Considered, and after the report on the three Nobel laureates for this speeding up of time work, they talked about this new telescope that looks back through time, which is very much what some of our explorations of time and the enigma of time and time as a dimension and some of the various pieces of our book that are devoted to the enigma of time and other dimensions covers.
Of course, any good telescope will take you back in time. It's just the new one that they're opening up now that Nikki speaks of is at a whole different wavelength that where the information is carried on wavelengths that are measured in meters instead of what our eyes are used to seeing. So now they're going back to the first 10% of, if you take all the time in existence, because it is our belief that time is constructed. It's a, as we cover in detail in the book, the
so we talking wanted
about before time is sort of nonsensical. It's a time was created along with the big at the time of the Big Bang.
So we were going to read you a couple of paragraphs. Which one did you want to read? The time is a dimension one, or the one about the observer?
Right. I was seeing you, Nikki, reading from the one at the bottom of page 209, and
okay,
I'll
which
take
one?
It up
okay.
On the next page.
So this is kind of leading into the work that we're going to be doing together. Until the observer observes, all possibilities are still in play. There are as many possibilities for our future as there are renditions and memories of history. In one way, we do not have to guess about the future. We can view the possibilities, choose the one that excites or pleases us, and then draw it towards us, or more accurately, move into it. There is no predetermined future because we are creating it at every moment. Imagine a magic carpet that not only takes you to existing destinations, but also helps you make changes on your way there. So we actually have the piece of work that we're going to do tonight is sort of a prelude on how to make the changes, but does allow us to go backward and forward in time and starting to anneal to the work before us that is aligning with the future that we want to be in. And so, Mark, you want to read the beginning of the part on time as a dimension?
These are just samples from the book.
Just
I'll read a paragraph
paragraphs.
Now. Time was not always viewed as a dimension. We were so thoroughly immersed in it, we could not find an objective way to look at it. Einstein shocked the scientific world when he proposed that time does not progress at the same rate everywhere. There is no master clock that everything adheres to. Einstein's position was, simply put, the speed of travel and gravity will each influence the rate at which time passes. While his insights filtered out from academia into the minds of the general public, and the image of time continued to evolve, soon, relatively speaking, the concept of time having been created during the Big Bang became acceptable. Suddenly, the three spatial dimensions gained a fourth partner, time.
And then we go on sort of using quantum physics as a springboard for how these exercises and the rites or initiatory journeys help us to have a more direct experience, therefore not only a deeper understanding, but an in-the-moment recognition of how we are, by doing these deep observances, actually affecting change.
And we couldn't help but notice that Nikki's grasp of Egyptology, how often the people at the height of the culture, when they were in their power and they were having breakthroughs, they were creating a language that was just what the time needed, just what the time could handle. But they were explaining a lot of these concepts. The truth is the truth, no matter if it's 2,000 years old or thought of in the last 10 years. And people were having these aha moments all along. So using Nikki's expertise, we've blended in a lot of the concepts from ancient Egypt.
So as we continue in the chapter on the enigma of time and other dimensions, there are exercises that we call breaking reality barriers. There's one on shrinking consciousness, expanding consciousness, slowing down consciousness, speeding up consciousness.
These were these work to once you get comfortable breaking out of reality as you have lived it every moment of your life, and you start being more comfortable with bursting out of reality as you know it.
The limitations.
Then you can start getting out there and examining reality from a different perspective than ever before.
So the journey that we're going to take you on tonight is actually a journey that you could listen to. I think it's a pretty similar version in my 7-CD audio presentation called Becoming an Oracle. And it's a part of, there's 19 journeys in that set, but the Sphinx journey is the one that we have as a as an example or a sample journey on the website, Becoming an Oracle. And
it's included in this book.
And it's also included in this book. And but what we realized, I was going to go through it and kind of change it for tonight when I realized that this journey is very potent and powerful on its own, and it, you know, really lets you see how it is to go backward and forward in time. And then later in the book, and this is definitely in the advanced section of the book because it's kind of setting you up for some of the more advanced techniques of finding solutions in the future, of being able to move into a state of consciousness where you can see what's coming toward us and not only be able to see solutions to the problems that would help us to avoid some of the potential disasters that we're heading toward, but to affect change as the observer factor in physics says that we do simply through our witnessing and observing. And so this Sphinx journey just seemed kind of the perfect thing to introduce you to this work. Realizing that it is prelude to some even more advanced work. Are we ready to just go forward with it, Mark? Okay. So I'm trusting that you can all hear me clearly. I'm just going to press and see if there's anything anybody needs. Does anybody have a question on anything we've said before we begin? Just hit star 7 and ask.
Yeah. either that's a good sign or we've lost everybody.
I think we're okay. I hope we're okay because we're going to go ahead forward with this. I did see a question online, which I will respond to after in the sharing time. Okay. And the other reason we chose the Sphinx is because I think everybody knows what the Sphinx looks like. I hope I'm not jaded because I've stood in front of it probably close to 60 times by now with groups, but for now, we're just going to start by breathing the heart breath as we do at the beginning of every exercise in the book. So take a moment to ground and center and focus on your heart. Find the eternal flame that lives within the sanctuary of your heart center. Bring it into your internal focus and feed it with love. As you pour love upon your inner heart flame, it brightens, it intensifies, and it spreads warmth and light throughout your being. Now, breathe as though you are drawing your breath from the heart of the earth, inhaling the vitality, the power, the intelligence of all the elements, and bring that all the way up into your body, up to your heart center where it feeds your heart flame, where it mixes with the love that you're continuing to pour on your heart flame. And then when you exhale out in every direction from your heart, and it awakens every cell of your body, becomes alert. And then as you continue to breathe that way, we're going to add a component. So while you're inhaling from the heart of the earth, you're also inhaling from the heart of the cosmos and pulling the stellar and solar energies in through your crown, pouring in through your crown and coming down to your heart from above as it's being inhaled from the heart of the earth. So your breath becomes like a bellows to strengthen and enliven your heart flame. And as you exhale and that breath goes out, the light from your heart flame radiates out beyond your body. And as the light radiates from your heart center and surrounds you, it is within that glow that you, in a balanced, centered, and grounded state, can begin to perceive yourself standing in front of the great Sphinx in Egypt. It's dawn. The sun has not yet risen, but the stars above are fading. Feel yourself in the stillness of early morning, that tranquil place between night and day. To increase the clarity of your vision, you just continue to breathe the heart breath. And raise your head slowly and gaze into the face of the great Sphinx. As the Sphinx becomes more clear in your inner focus, stand between the paws of the great Sphinx and look up at this magnificent being. As dawn begins to emerge behind you, gather your intention, which at this time would be to request permission of the Sphinx, the guardian of the necropolis on the Giza Plateau, and known to some as the Great Earth Altar, Guardian of the Mysteries. You're asking permission to explore the mysteries of time. And you offer your question with your heart breath directed to the Sphinx. As you gaze up at the Sphinx, its calm, regal face is looking at some distant point behind you. As it appears today, the Sphinx is draped with fine sculpted stone that hides the ancient, weather-worn surface within. Your perception begins to shift so that you can see through these outer stones. As they fade away, details emerge to reveal earlier and earlier incarnations, indicating that the effects of time, wind, and water are fading too. Now the paws of the Sphinx regain their definition. They look new and fresh. The face of the Sphinx moves through its various alterations. Yet through any changes that you perceive, the eyes remain constant, focusing ahead on the same point. For a brief moment, the Sphinx loses its form altogether, and you glimpse the original rock outcropping, the natural stone as it was before it was touched by human hands, just a glimpse. And then the shaping of the Sphinx begins anew. You've arrived at that nexus, the space between the unshaped Sphinx and the carved and sculpted Sphinx. Bring your attention once again to your breath, inhaling the heart breath, focusing on the breath, on your love, the energies of earth and sky. Hold this breath for a moment to allow these ingredients to blend and alchemize within your heart. When you exhale this time, direct your breath from your heart like a great beam of light into the heart of the Sphinx, carrying your respect, your humility, and your request to know these mysteries more deeply. As if in response to your request, the heart of the great Sphinx opens, and as the first ray of the rising sun touches you from behind, you enter the open heart of the Sphinx. For a moment, you're in total darkness. The light from the sun cannot follow you into the stone. Within the heart of the Sphinx, you have a sense of knowing the crystalline medium within the stone, It is within this matrix that the totality of information becomes accessible to you. From this vantage point, the history of humans and our accumulation of knowledge are revealed as a tiny moment compared to the hugeness of knowledge available throughout the universe. You feel yourself transfigured as you meld into the cold, old stone. You feel yourself moving back through time, sensing from within all the changes. The very stone itself begins to heat and soften as it returns to the molten core under the mantle of Earth. Experience the forces of heat, pressure, and gravity, and move beyond that which will become the Earth's crust. You drift back further and faster to a time of less gravity, less heat. Back and back and back to before the very formation of this planet. You are floating in dust, floating in space. You can explore the very nature of our universe before our solar system, before the creation of our galaxy. You can take in the accumulation of dust and debris of older, spent galaxies. Even the molecules are less complicated now. And yet, notice how intelligence permeates the entire field of primordial space. Now it's time to begin your return, moving forward in time. Observe the assembly of the molecule, the aggregation that becomes our planet, the minute crystals that precipitate and become the stone that becomes the Sphinx. Notice the knowledge you gain and the deep, profound understanding that is working within you. You are racing forward in time now toward this moment in your life, aware of influences and momentums that shape the destiny of you and entire cultures. As you come back closer to this current moment, you retain the awareness that the firmness of the stone, its absolute stillness, is an illusion. Every moment in your life has led you to this point. Do not slow down. Let your momentum carry you forward beyond this now. You're part of a great flow. It's moving faster and faster, so fast, and there's so much going on at once. Yet within the vastness, you glean a hint of where this will lead, a hint of what is to come in the rest of your life and of all life. As though on a bungee cord, you've gone far into the past, and then from there shot as far as you can into the future with eyes wide open. And now you find yourself coming back to this moment, as this moment comes back into focus. The all-pervasive intelligence remains the one constant throughout the ever-changing universe. This all-pervasive intelligence is the last thing you notice before you start to feel squeezed and find you cannot stay within the stone of the Sphinx any longer. You're being expelled, squeezed out of the stone, and you'll find yourself once again standing between the paws. Back in the daylight, you greet the rising sun. Your entire story, as well as the story of the universe, is impressed within the stone in the heart of the Sphinx. With this new avenue of information open to you, feel how deeply connected you are with the heart of the Sphinx. It's this abiding connection that will ground you now and will be available to you throughout your life. In the deepest recesses of your being, know that this is your sacred connection to the oracular source in the stars. And this understanding will grow over time and with practice. Reconnect to the heart breath and offer your gratitude to the Sphinx, the majestic earth altar. And now begin to become aware of your physical body once again, coming back into your physical body at this time. Breathe the earth part of the heart breath, and when you exhale, send your breath down into the earth to help ground you once again. And then the full heart breath to center yourself. Our hope is that you'll, we have some time for some sharing. And I'm hoping that you'll go on to the forum and share your experiences there so that we can begin the discussion that will help create the community, and we can move forward. This is very new to us. We've never done anything like this. Roland and I checked out the forum today. It seemed to be working, and so he opened it up. So we'll be very interested to see how it works for you. If you have any problems, please email us or call us. And, you know, we really want to make this happen in a good way. So if there's anybody who's grounded and ready to speak, we'd like to hear from you right now. So hit *7 and say your name and where you're calling from. And we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Tamara, and I'm calling from Texas.
Hi, Tamara.
Thank you for that meditation. It was wonderful. My question is, what is, I missed like the first 15 minutes of the phone call, but so I don't know if maybe the answer to my question was in the first 15 minutes, but what is the purpose of like doing this time bending or time traveling? Like, is it activating my DNA, or can I like, how?
Well, this particular one that we did is preparatory to the journeys that follow that have to do with creating a wise future and using the more oracular or divination powers that each of us have.
And to stimulate some of the parts of the brain that may have atrophied or been resting, or maybe it has to do with the development in evolution. But we're wanting to wake up and participate in a responsible way
in the creation of our future and in solving the problems that we face, and in you know, finding ways to, you know, when I say heal the planet, it's like more heal our species in terms of our relationship with the planet. The planet will take care of itself, but if we want to survive, and if we want to survive to thrive and to be able to move forward and make the changes necessary to live in harmony with one another and with the planet, we've got to move fast. And so these exercises are designed to put us in a relationship or in a vantage point of being able to make real changes.
So,
like,
But so, like, would I be able to go get information in the past or in the future to cure cancer?
Yes.
Or is
yes.
that what you're saying?
For,
okay.
Yes, but we also, I mean, we have chapters on cancer where we actually have the parabola and, you know, our own history with my survival of cancer and how we work shamanically to work with the chemo and the radiation. And
there's multiple tabs that accomplish same things at the same time as weaving in with many diverse things. Hopefully there's it's sort of like growing up that we've been gifted these wonderful bodies and minds, and what if we're a little more connected with spirit, what else can we do?
And how can we, you know, focus this magnificent creativity that we have to co-create a more healthful and harmonious world? And so we want to do it not just through our journeys, but in the building of community. I know somebody asked a question online about whether we can do a monthly meditation, and it's interesting because Mark and I talked about that just before we came on. And we would rather do calls to action than define it, that at this time we're going to meet here, because we're afraid that that would it might lose something in the definition of what we're doing. We want to see how it evolves.
We want to be passionate. When it's time to get together, everybody's going to know it, and we're going to be sharing the same passion.
But with the website, anybody can call. So if you've got something that you're concerned about, did you get off the hold? If there's something that you're concerned about, you can go on to our website and say, we need to work on this. This is happening in Africa, or this is happening in South America, or this is, you know, the news isn't reporting this, but this needs to be worked on. What can we do? And then we can look at all the tools and say, well, let's have a time when we get together and we'll do this action.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, we're hoping that people want to do it as often, and we're willing to respond as often as we can and train everybody through this book so that if we couldn't be there, you'd be able to work amongst yourselves because the tools and maps are already there.
And how does this relate to the fifth dimension, or is this the fifth dimension?
Everybody, there's so many systems that number this way and this way that I can't give it a name like that. It's
some of the things that we were brought up with and we thought we were comfortable with our understanding of them. Things are changing right now, right in front of us. And definitions evolve, and our grasp of them evolves.
So we're reticent to say this, you know, we are going to this particular inner world or this particular upper world. We're going through a shamanic doorway that's going to take us where we need to accomplish what our intention is in any given moment. So we have a number of ways. We can do it through the element of air in an exercise we call the beacon. We can do it in water through our work with the consciousness of water. We can do it in fire through our work in purifying through volcano. I mean, there's so many rites and initiations and journeys in this book. It's like a recipe book for ways that we can approach this from so many different angles, and then people can make their choice of what resonates with them, what works for you. What of this, book of alchemy is, you know, which exercises like really take you to where you need to be, rather than naming them quite in that way. So I hope that's clear, and those are great questions, and I hope that people ask those kind of questions on the website, and we can discuss them.
I just have one more thing.
Okay.
What about, how can you use this to change, like, the minds of violence? You know, like for example, right now there's so many, Mexico is going crazy. There's just hundreds and hundreds of people that are being murdered and killed. And, like, how can you use this to change the mind of violence?
There are processes in this book that address that.
Specifically, that violence in the world.
Yeah, well, I was speaking of the blanket over Kosovo, the one that we developed
And it's applicable to any situation that starts catching on fire. Mexico would be a wonderful place to apply that.
And there's also there's a process in alchemical healing, which this is kind of, alchemical healing is my book on healing. It's like a whole form. And it's more one-on-one, whereas this gets into multiples and we go to a much greater scale. But in that book, there's a piece called Becoming Your Enemy, where you learn compassionate listening so that you can get in the mind of somebody like a Bin Laden or these people in these cartels and see where there is a commonality at the base of every human being, and how we can kind of track and work from that place. So there's so there are things in this book, but your particular question also reminded me that there's that very powerful exercise in alchemical healing as well that works in that kind of situation. So thank you for your questions,
thank
and
you.
Please ask more on the forum. Great questions. Does anybody else want to share? We're going to have to stop soon. I said an hour. We've already gone a little bit over, but I'd love to hear some more from people if you've got a few more minutes.
Hey, this is Indigo from Eugene.
Hi, Indigo.
Hi, Nikki. I want to add that one of the things about this work, it's outward focused, it's planetary focused, but as we move through these exercises and incorporate these practices into the way we walk, part of what changes is us. And as we change, then how we walk in the world changes, and how we walk in the world changes, then the whole world's a little different. And it's as simple as that sometimes. That's really it. I wanted to add. Thanks.
Well said.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else who has a question or a comment? Love to hear from you, please.
Hi, Nikki and Mark. This is Anita.
Hi,
and,
Anita.
I just wanted to thank you both. It's been a long time since I've been to Egypt, and on the journey that you led, I was immediately visited by Sekhmet, and it was a roar, a fierce roar like I haven't heard in a really long time. And then at the end, when we were coming out of the journey, Ma'at showed up to remind me that that roar needs to be balanced with loving kindness. So I'm just feeling really grateful this evening for being shown that this time is calling for that balance in warriorship and fierceness, but that what gets brought to the table is balanced with a gentleness and kindness. And so I'm just grateful for the journey to show me that this evening.
Thank you, Anita.
Thank you.
And I see somebody's name is flashing. Is there somebody else who's wishing to speak? Or am I misreading the signal on this?
I think it's time to wrap it up, Nikki.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us. I hope this is a good introduction. And we will please buy from us at Hathor's Mirror, which you can get to from the planetaryhealingbook.com.
And
we'll sign them for you, which we love doing. And I look forward to seeing some of you in the forum and helping us build community so we can make this work really more powerful by expanding it and bringing more and more people into the process. So thank you very, very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nikki.
Oh, you're so welcome. Hi, all.
It's Debbie. I'll call you in the next couple of days.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.